everyone. Welcome. Good to see you. I saw one person's taking a walk. I hope everyone is getting out today, enjoying the beautiful weather that we have here. And I'm excited to learn together again today. There was a fascinating study done back in the 1990s regarding Y chromosomal iron. What is Y chromosomal iron? This is the hypothesized ancestral link to Jewish Kohanim, as the scientists refer to them. There was a hypothesis that since we believe that all Kohanim have passed down their ancestry patrilineally throughout the generations, then theoretically, they should share an almost identical Y chromosome. The Y chromosome is the chromosome passed down from father to son. If that son is a son and not a daughter, then they will have received an X chromosome from their mother and a Y chromosome from their father. And therefore, theoretically, anyone who is related patrilineally should share an identical Y chromosome, with taking into account the almost constant mutations, which can be used to then date how far back the common ancestor is. So there was a scientist in Haifa who took on this project and said, whereas Jews in general have passed down their lineage matrilineally, which is harder to track, being able to figure out who a Kohen is, if there has truly been this nonstop passing down of ancestral material from father to son, then they should be able to track that. And the results supported their hypothesis. While it doesn't come down to only one chromosomal group, there are between two and three almost identical genetic sequences to which they're able to track the majority of Kohanim. And interestingly enough, this chromosomal sequence is shared by Sfardim and Ashkenazim, which shows that even when they went out to Gullus and when we spread all over the world, this genetic material continued to be passed down. And additionally, as I said, you're able to track how far back the common ancestor is based on the number of mutations that have occurred to the genetic material. And they are able to track the genetic ancestor back to Y chromosomal iron between 2,638 and 3,280 years ago, approximately around the time that we believe that Aaron HaKohen lived. So this is pretty cool. This is definitely a piece of information used when in Aish seminars to try to prove, not that we need to prove the validity of the Torah, but it's one of those cool things that it's like we like to see when science and history match up with what we've learned in the Torah, because it always makes it so much more tangible and feel so much more relevant in our lives, that if we're able to say that not only has my husband been told by his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather that he was a Kohen, if we were to do blood tests on all of them, not blood tests, if we were able to do DNA tests on each of them, we would be able to prove that they are actually all Kohanim and that they have passed this trait down from one to another, which is really cool. But what does it matter? In today's day and age, we know that we have a group of Kohanim. How does that play out practically today? Kohanim today will still give Birchat Kohanim. If you are Sephardi, then they give it every single day. If you are in Eretz Yisrael, then they give it every single day. If you are an Ashkenaz Jew living in America, they will duchen or give Birchat Kohanim only on holidays. And they still observe some of the laws of Tumah and Tahara, as we discussed last week, that they will not become Tamei Lamit. And there are a few other things. They still get the first Aliyah. A Kohen can still perform the Pidyon HaBen, but we know that they are obviously not serving in the Beis HaMikdash today. So originally, what I want to look back at, a lot of what is sourced in this week's Parsha, is a discussion of the role of Kohanim. So where does this begin? Where did the job of the Kohanim come about? At what point in the Torah? How did it play out throughout the times of the Torah? And as we see discussed in this week's Haftorah, what was their job during the time of all of Tanakh? And then we're going to discuss how that applies to us today. That besides for these remnants of the jobs of Kohanim that are left today, practically, what is their role today? So that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to begin back in Sefer Shemot. It is right after Chet HaEgel, and Hashem says to Moshe, and Shemot Perek Chaf Chai, Ve'ata hakrivi lecha al Aron achicha, ve'al banav ito, mitoch b'nei Yisrael, l'kohano li Aron, Nadav ve'avihu el'azar ve'itamar b'nei Aron. Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to approach Aron, your brother, and you are going to make him and his sons priests for me. Aaron will be the Kohen Gadol, he will be the head, and his sons will be the Kohanim, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, and Itamar. Why did this come about immediately after Chet HaEgel? Because from the time of Makat Bechorot, the firstborn sons were the ones that were going to be ultimately the priests of Hashem. They were going to be the Kohanim. They were consecrated to Hashem from the time of Makat Bechorot. They held a special place for Hashem. However, at Chet HaEgel, they threw away that opportunity, that when they participated in Chet HaEgel, they cast off their ability to be able to serve Hashem in the same way that they were going to be able to. However, Shevet Levi, the descendants of Aaron and Moshe, the families of Moshe and Aaron, they did not serve in Chet HaEgel, and therefore Hashem said, in place of the firstborns is going to come the Kohanim. And that is why until today there is this process of Pidyon HaBen, that when a firstborn child is born, they have to be redeemed by a Kohen, as if their place has to be switched one for another, because now the Kohen will be serving in place of that firstborn. So they're consecrated from the time immediately after Chet HaEgel. And then we see in Sefer Bamidbar that it is discussed when we are discussing the encampment of Am Yisrael, that it says in Bamidbar Perek Aleph, Levim Yachanu Saviv La Mishkan Ha'idut, whereas all the other tribes camped in a separate camp. There was three levels. There was the Mishkan at the center. Then there was Machane Levia. The Shevet Levi, they camped surrounding the entire Mishkan with Gershom, Kehat, and Merari camping on the three sides, and the family of Moshe and Aaron on the other specific side. And then surrounding that was the rest of the tribes, that they each had their designated spot, but in the outer layer. So in Bamidbar it says, the Levium will camp immediately surrounding the Mishkan. V'lo yihyeh ketef al ha'idut, b'nei Yisrael v'shamru ha'levium et mishperen ha'mishkan ha'idut. They will maintain a certain level of Kedusha. They will be like the guardians of the Mishkan. That's why they will be sort of the boundary between Bnei Yisrael and the Mishkan. And so that is their job. They are going to camp there. They are going to be the ones that are not going to go out to war. As we see in the next parak in Sefer Bamidbar, it talks about the census, that all of Am Yisrael is counted together, and then Shevet Levi is counted with a different scale. They're counted from a much younger age, from the age of 1 month as opposed to 20 years, because it is not about them going off to battle. Rather, it is about them entering into the service of God. And therefore, it was not important how many people made it to age 20 in order to then become eligible to serve in the army, as was with the rest of Am Yisrael. Rather, what was relevant was that they lived past 1 month, where 1 month was considered to be sort of the threshold of viability, that if a baby lived past a month, then they were likely to continue to live. So once they reached that age of viability, they then had to be counted, because preparing for the service of God in the Mishkan was a process that was going to take them through their life. So they were going to have to begin preparing from that very young age. So from that point, they are now consecrated to God. They are going to be the ones that are going to serve in the Mishkan. They are going to be the teachers and educators of Am Yisrael. And as we are going to see right now in this week's Parsha, they are going to have to maintain slightly different rules especially in the realm of Tumah and Tahara, impurity and impurity, as we discussed last week, that are going to differentiate them from the rest of Am Yisrael. And as we said, components of this last us until today. Even though they are no longer serving in the Mishkan, we believe that they must maintain a certain level of purity so that Emir Tashem, one day we should be able to, tomorrow if Mashiach comes and we are able to serve in the Mishkan, they should be pure and ready to enter into the Mishkan. Into the Beis HaMikdash, sorry. So in Parshas Emor this week, it starts off by addressing the Kohanim. And Hashem says, this is the first source on the source sheet, in Vayikra Perek Chaf Aleph, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emor el HaKohanim b'nei Aaron v'amarta alayhem, l'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. Moshe says to the Kohanim, to the priests, he says, you should not become impure from a dead body. Except for his immediate relatives, for his son, daughter, and brother. If he has a sister who has not yet married, then he can also become impure for her. So besides for his closest relatives, he is not able to come in contact with any dead body. Lo yitamal ba'al ba'amav l'chalalo. He should not become impure in order to, l'chalalo is to desecrate his kehuna. Lo yikarcha karcha berusham v'pe'at ziknam lo yigalachu. He should not shave any part of his head, and he should not cut part of his beard. V'saram lo yishar tu sharet. He should never cut his skin. Some of the priests of other nations, as it was discussed also last week in Parsha Kedoshim, is that the way that other nations sometimes serve their God was by cutting their own skin or making marks in their skin. And Hashem specifically mentions that this was not the way that the Kohanim were going to serve. Kedoshim yihiyu la'alohayhem. You should be holy to your God. Lo yichalalu shem Hashem Elokeichem, ki im ishei Hashem lechem Elokeichem, hi makrivim v'hayu kodesh. Hashem says you should maintain the holiness. You should not desecrate it because you are the ones who are bringing ki'ilu lechem Hashem. You are bringing the food of Hashem. You are bringing the karbanot, and it must be kodesh. It must be holy. Isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu v'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu ki kodesh hu la'alokav. Additionally, there are rules about who the Kohanim can marry, and this too remains until today. That a Kohen may not marry someone who has been who has engaged in harlotry, or someone who is a divorcee. Because ki kadosh hu la'alokav, because he is holy for Hashem, he may not marry these women. V'kidashto ki imlecham elokecha hu makriv, kodesh yelecha ki kadosh ani Hashem mikadoshchem. We see this word of kodesh is being repeated over and over again in every iteration. You should remain holy because your work is holy, because I am Hashem your God, who is holy. Therefore, when you serve me, it must be holy. Ubat ish kohen kitachel is not et aviha he mechalalet beish tisraf. If a daughter of a kohen goes off and acts improperly, she acts as an isha zona, she prostitutes herself, she should be burned because this is considered a chalala. She is desecrating the kehuna. V'akohen gadol me'achav asher yitzak al rosho shemen hameshcha umilayat yado l'oboshet habegadim al rosho lo yifrau begadav lo yifrom. The Kohen Gadol is going to be one Kohen who is chosen out from his brothers, and he is going to have a special level that is even higher than the other Kohanim. He is going to be anointed with oil, and he is going to have specific clothing. He is going to be a level above. V'al kol nefashot meit lo yavo, he may not become impure from any dead body. La'aviv v'limo lo yitama, even for his father or his mother. U'min ha'mikdash lo yitzei v'lo yichalel et mikdash elokav, he may not leave from the mikdash, because we do not want him to desecrate the mikdash. Ki nezer shemen mishchat elokav alav, because he has been specifically anointed with oil. Ani Hashem, v'hu isha betula yikach, he may only marry a betula, a virgin. Al mana v'grusha v'chalala zuna. The Kohen Gadol may not marry not only someone who has been a harlot or someone who has got a divorce. He may also not marry an almana, a widow, anyone who has been with another man, or someone who is a chalala, who is the product of a relationship between a kohen and a woman whom he was not allowed to marry. That person is now considered a chalala, someone who is not able to participate in the kahuna. He may not marry her as well. The lo yichalel zaro ba'amav. He may not make his children into chalalim. Ki ani Hashem mikadesho, because I am Hashem who is making him holy. And I want you to see how this word is playing out over and over and over again. Kodesh, kodesh, mikadesho, kedoshim yihiyu. Ve'edaber Hashem al Moshe limor. Daber al Aaron limor. Ish mizaracha ledorotam asher yebo mum. Lo yikrav lahakriv lechem elokav. Hashem again says to Moshe, go back and command Aaron and his children that anyone who has a mum, who has an imperfection, may not serve as a kohen. Ki kol ish asher bo mum lo yikrav ish iver o piseach o chirim o sharua. Someone who is blind or who is unable to speak, who is unable to hear, who is unable to walk. O ish asher yeh bo shever, ragel o shever yad, who has a broken leg and a broken hand. O gibein, o dak, o tivel be'inav, o garav, o yilafet, o miruach eshecha. Over and over again, repeating all of the different mumim with it, that if you have any of these imperfections, you may not serve God in the mikdash. Kol ish asher bo mum mizera aron hakohen lo yigash lahakriv et ishei Hashem mum bo et lechem elokav lo yigash lahakriv. Any imperfection, he may not approach to serve God. Lo yigash ki mum bo v'lo yichalel et mikdashi ki ani Hashem mikadashem. Mikadashtem. Sorry. Mikadasham. I am Hashem who makes you holy. So again, this word is iterated over and over and over again. That you are holy. You must maintain this holiness. You must not desecrate this holiness, because this institution of the kihuna, of this special priesthood of God, is one that is holy because I am holy, and therefore everything you must do is holy. So what is this relationship to last week's parsha of Parsha Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tihiyu, that seems to give us much different rules, such as how to interact with one another, how to maintain our communal holiness? So what's happening is that there is a progression. There is the general holiness in Parsha Kedoshim, and then we have to approach this special designated group of the Kohanim, and they are going to be the ones who are going to show us on an even higher level what it means to attain this higher level of Kedusha. That they are the ones designated, as we saw, that they are going to camp around the Mishkan because they are going to maintain a higher level of holiness. So Parsha Kedoshim is for the general klal, for the Yisraelim. Bnei Israel is divided into the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Yisraelim. Most of us fall into that general camp of Yisrael. Kedoshim Tiyu, last week's Parsha, that's for us. How do we maintain our general holiness? We avoid Tuma. When we run into situations of Tuma, we deal with it appropriately. We know how to purify ourselves. We know how to interact with each other so that we create a Machane Kadosh, a holy camp. But then this week's Parsha, we transition and we say, okay, but there is this higher level group of people that seems to be genetically mandated that if they are direct descendants of Aaron HaKohen, they have been designated as this special group and they are going to maintain this higher level of Kedusha. So whereas all of Am Yisrael is meant to avoid becoming Tamei Lamit, but we are taught how to purify ourselves appropriately if we fall into that situation, we now have the higher level where the Kohanim in general, they may not become Tamei at all, Tamei Lamit, except for an immediate relative. And then we have the highest level of the Kohen Gadol, who is meant to be that exemplar of Kedusha. He is the one who enters into the Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies. And he is the one who is going to exemplify the highest level, who makes sure to never run into a situation of Tuma. We have everyone must maintain the general Isurei Arayu, the relationships that we are not able to marry. So that is for the Klal. We are all meant to deal with that in one way. Then there is the Kohanim. The Kohanim are able to marry even within a narrowed pool of women. And then we get to the highest level of the Kohen Gadol. And he is only allowed to marry one specific category of women. So we see how it's going from general Kedusha in Parashat Kedoshim, and it narrows itself to the Kohanim and then to the Kohen Gadol. And that's where we are in the beginning of this week's Parashah. However, the Rambam, in the final two Mishnayot of halachot of Hilchot Shemitah and Yovel, throws at us a very confusing statement. The Rambam says, "V'lama lo zacha Levi benachas Eretz Yisrael ubibista imachiv." The question is asked, when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, the Levium, the entire Shevet Levi, including the Kohanim, are not given a specific Nachala in Eretz Yisrael. The idea is that they are going to spread out within all of the other tribes, and they are going to be the ones serving in the Mikdash. So they are not going to need their Nachala in the same way. But the Rambam asks the question in the end of Hilchot Shemitah and Yovel, why is that? Why were they not Zocha to their own Nachala in Eretz Yisrael? We know there's nothing greater than being able to inherit a portion of Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam gives a fascinating answer, and he says, "Mipnei shehuvdal la'avodat Hashem l'sharto v'lahorot darchav hayasharim v'mishpatav hatzadikim l'rabim." He says because they have a different position. Their job is to spread out within Am Yisrael. They are meant to be separated, and they are going to teach the rest of Am Yisrael about tzedek and the right way to act, u'mishpat v'tzadikim l'rabim. They are meant to be these role models for the rest of Am Yisrael, and therefore they have to be among the nation. It's not helpful if the holiest people in the nation all stay in one little place and stay to themselves. Rather, we want them to spread out. I remember when I was working in sleepaway camp, there used to be the Beis Medrash program. There was the group of young women and young men who used to come to camp, and they were not counselors, they were not educational staff. They used to just sit in the library or in the Beis Medrash all day, and they would learn on their own. And then the director of the camp had an idea. He said, why don't we have these amazing young women who have dedicated themselves to come to camp and spend their summer learning, instead of having them be that kind of high in the sky, the people that the campers see every once in a while if they happen to be in the library, why don't we have them spread out throughout camp? We make it that they occasionally give shiurim, and we ask that they can do half-day Beis Medrash program and half-day counselor. We make it that they're more integrated in the camp. Even the places they're going to learn are going to be more integrated into the camp so that everyone can be able to learn from them and not just have them be to themselves. They're going to spread out, and therefore they will have a much greater influence. That was the rule of Shevet Levi. They are not going to be confined to their own Nachala that would be this amazing holy Nachala in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, they are going to spread out to everyone else. They are going to engage with the people. They are going to be an example to them. As it says in Sefer Devarim, Yoru Mishpatecha Yaakov v'Toratecha Yisrael. Shevet Levi is going to show the Tzedek and Mishpat and Torah to all of Am Yisrael. Lefiha, huvdalu midarchei ha'olam. They separated from the ways of the world. Lo orchin milchama. They didn't go out to war, Kishar Yisrael, like the rest of Am Yisrael. Lo nochlin v'lo zochlin la'atzman v'koach gufan. The rest of the Shvatim had to conquer their own Nachalot. But Shevet Levi did not do this. They were separated from those things. They were not going to go out and fight. They were going to settle in wherever everyone else had settled so that they could be among them. Ella, him chayel Hashem. They are the army of Hashem. They are not going to be fighting with people. Rather, they are going to be fighting for God. V'hu baruch hu zocha lahem sh'ne'amar ani chalkacha v'nachla secha. Hashem is going to be their nachla. Hashem's Torah, that is their territory, so to say, and that is what they are going to be responsible for. They are going to fight for Torah, they are going to fight for Hashem, they are not going to fight for land. And then the Rambam continues in the final halacha, and he says, V'lo Shevet Levi bilvad, and not Shevet Levi alone, ela kol ish mikol ba'e olam, asher nadvar rucho oto behevienu mida'o lihibadel la'amod lifnei Hashem l'sharto, any person from Am Yisrael can choose this role. They can choose to separate themselves, and they can choose to be among Shevet Levi. They can choose to separate themselves from the physicality and do only what Hashem commanded of them, that they will be the ones who are going to teach Torah and learn Torah and spread the light of Torah. Ufarak me old tabaro et kol achashbonot harabim asher bekshu b'nei adam harizeh nitkadash kodesh kedashim. a person like this is able to cast off the yoke of material pressure, all of the chashbonot, the calculations of what they have to do and what they're responsible for, they're able to cast this off, and they are able to engage in the Kodesh Kadashim, in the holiest of holy fields. V'yeh Hashem chalko, Hashem will be his nachala. V'nachlato la'olam ulo omei olamim. V'yizkeh lo ba'olam hazeh davar hamaspik lo kimo shezachah l'kohanim v'le'leviyim. He will be able to live in the same way as the Kohanim and the Levim. He will be able to live on their level, engaging only with Hashem's Torah and teaching this Torah to other people, and not have to worry about material matters. So the Rambam really threw a wrench into our understanding of Kohanim. It made perfect sense. We said even the scientists can prove it. That there was this designated group. Moshe gave these commandments to Aaron and his sons. Aaron was the first Kohen Gadol. The sons were the beginning of the Kohanim. And this was a role that was going to be passed down genetically. So it would be very clear cut. These rules apply to the Yisraelim. These rules apply to Levim and Kohanim. And these rules apply to the Kohen Gadol. But now the Rambam is saying that the role of the Kohanim is one that is so spiritual. It is about their role in the world. No mention of their genetics, except for that specifically Shevet Levi were the ones who originated this role. But then he says, "V'lo Shevet Levi bilvad," that anyone is able to engage in this role of the Kohanim. Anyone can cast off their material pressures and requirements in favor of living a life like the Kohanim and the Levim. So what does this mean? Does the Rambam truly believe that, let's say, in today's day and age, when we don't have a mikdash, so there's not an issue of who is able to actually enter into the mikdash, that today anyone can assume this role of a Kohen or a Levi? Is that literally what he means? There's a Mishnah in Horiot that also confuses us a little bit, that the Mishnah says, Kohen is giving us a hierarchy of who must be respected the most. So it says, Kohen kodem l'levi. The Kohen, and this plays out practically in terms of tefillah, or let's say benching, who is meant to be given the kavod first, of who is meant to approach the Torah first, who is meant to, if you're looking for someone to lead the Zeman, who is meant to be asked first. And there is this hierarchy. Kohen kodem l'levi. A Kohen always comes before a Levi. Levi l'Yisrael. Levi comes before someone from the rest of Am Yisrael. Yisrael l'mamzer. A general member of Klal Yisrael comes before a mamzer, someone who is a product of an illicit relationship. V'mamzer l'natin. Natin was the name for a person who came from the Givonim. And they were that weird story that we read about in Navi, that they like converted, but they weren't really supposed to convert. And so that's a natin. V'natin l'ger. A natin comes before a convert. And again, that was last week. Tumantara was 2 weeks ago. Last week we talked about the ger. The ger la eved, a ger should come before an eved hamishuchrar, an eved who has been freed. Ematai, when do these rules apply? This general hierarchy of the order of kibudim, when does this apply? Bizman shekulan shavin, at a time when they are all equal. Equal in terms of what? Equal in terms of their Torah knowledge. Aval im haya mamzer talmid chacham. If there is a mamzer, someone who is a product of an illicit relationship, and he is a Talmud Chacham, he knows much more Torah, the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz, and there is the Kohen Gadol, the highest level in the hierarchy, but he's an Am Haaretz, he doesn't really know any Torah. Mamzer Talmud Chacham, Kodem L'Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. Then the mamzer Talmud Chacham would get the kavod before the Kohen Talmud Chacham. So this also messes up our hierarchy. We had a very simple hierarchy going here. It was genetic. If you're a descendant of Aaron HaKohen, you're a Kohen. If you are a descendant of the rest of Shevet Levi, you're a Levi. If you are not, you are from any of the other Shvatim, you are from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And it was very clear what our roles were. But now the Rambam had to come along, and the Mishnah had to come along, and they had to throw a wrench into our plans. And they had to make it very unclear that the Rambam saying anyone can volunteer to be among Shevet Levi and perform their role. And the Mishnah is telling us that, wait, when we were telling you all of that, that's when everyone's Torah knowledge was equal. But when one knows more Torah than the other, that puts them in a higher position. So this, all these questions combined bring us to our question of, what is the role of the Kohen in relation to the rest of Am Yisrael? Is it something purely genetic, or is there something more to the role? And how does that play out practically today? That when we said when we don't have the Mikdash, which was the essence of the role of the Kohen at that time, that we understood that a large majority of the reason they had to keep these special rules of Kedusha was in order to not desecrate the Mikdash. How does the role of the Kohen still apply and relate to us as the rest of Am Yisrael today? So to understand this, we have to go back, way back to the, before we are given the Torah, in Sefer Shemot. V'moshe alah al ha'lokim v'ekrai lav Hashem min ha'har le'mor. Ko tomar le'beis Yaakov v'tagid le'beis Yisrael. This is right before Hashem is going to give us the Torah. Moshe goes up to the mountain. Atem re'itam asher atziti le'mitzrayim. You saw what I did in Eretz Mitzrayim. V'asa atchem al kanfei nesharim. I will carry you on the eagle's wings. V'avi atchem elai, and I brought you to me. And I will bring you to me. Vata im shamoa tishmu bikoli. If you listen to my voice, ushamarta mebriti, and you listen to, and you maintain my covenant, vahayitam li segula mikol ha'amim, you will be separated from me from all of the other nations, kili kol ha'aretz, because the whole world is mine. Vatam tihiyu li mamlechat kohanim, you will be a nation of priests for me. Vigoy kadosh, and a holy nation. Ela dvarim asher tzedaber al b'nei Yisrael. These are the things that you should tell over to b'nei Yisrael. So now we're really confused. Now we're all a mamlechet kohanim, and we are an entire nation of priests. What does this mean? And what does this mean for the actual kohanim that we've been talking about the entire time? And I believe that if we look into how this understanding of what is a mamlechet kohanim, we will understand what the essence of the role of the designated group of Kohanim is, both in the time of the Mikdash and today. Rashi kind of sidesteps the issue and tries to translate the word Kohanim differently. Rashi says, "Va'atem tiyuli mamlachat Kohanim, you will be to me a nation of priests." Sarim, he says this is simply a nice way of saying that you will be sort of my officers, you will serve me. Kimada atamar ubnei David kohanim, because Rashi brings proof in the fact that it says in Sefer Shmuel Bet that ubnei David kohanim, that the children of David are kohanim, and we know that David is from Sheva Yehuda. So it's not possible that his children were actually kohanim. Rather, it is very likely that they were sarim of Hashem. They worshiped, they were officers, they were those that served Hashem. So Rashi says, don't worry, it's not technically messing with our definition of Kohanim. The Ramban says, Mamlecha Kohanim v'tihiyu li mamlecha misharti. The Ramban says as well, they are going to be my nation, misharti. They are going to be those who specifically serve me. They are going to be my servants. Again, it's not talking about that we are actually going to be an entire nation of Kohanim as we previously thought of it. Rather, it is going to be that we are going to be a designated nation to serve God. And you could say that either of those explanations connect in some way to how we did understand General Kohanim, that the Kohanim are the ones who directly serve God. So it's kind of broadening that and saying, all it means is those that serve. It doesn't come along with everything else, all of the different halakhot and the different rules they have to observe. Rather, it's only zoning in on the specific role of Kohanim that is to be those that serve. However, the Shaddal gives us a very interesting explanation that I believe sheds light on all of our other questions. The Shaddal says, Mamlacha Kohanim v'goy kadosh. Mipnei shehayu hagoyim ma'aminim shekohanim krovim v'chavivim la'alokehem v'she'alohehem usim lahem kol chavatzam. The rest of the nations of the world had this idea of priests, and priests were those that were closer to God, that were more loved by God, that God cared for them more directly, because they were the ones that directly served their gods. Amar, Hashem says, Ki uma kula tihiyah krova el hakel. For me, my entire nation is going to be close to me. My entire nation is going to be in that inner circle. We believe that Hashem is close to all those who call out to him. Hashem is having specific hashkacha. He is guarding over each and every one of us, and he is being mashkiach. He is observing and guiding our lives, each and every one of us, down to the particulars. You think of the Kohen, of the non-Jewish priest, as someone who is specifically cared for by God and loved by God. Hashem says, take that preconceived idea you have. Yes, we will have those sort of priests in my nation, but now apply it to all of you. Take that idea that you have in your mind and realize that you are all on that level. That yes, we are going to have specifically people who are going to serve me in a specific way, in a different way. But they are no closer to God than you are. They are no more loved by God than you are. And they have no greater potential for closeness to God than you do. So Shaddal is saying Hashem wanted us to think, oh, Mamlacha Kohanim. We know Kohanim. Kohanim are the ones who serve God. And Shaddal said Hashem wanted us to expand from there and say, if the Kohanim are close to God and they serve God directly and they love Torah and they teach Torah and they spread Torah to the world, if we are a Mamlechet Kohanim, that doesn't mean that we are all priests, but that means that we all have the potential. We have the equal opportunity to that the priests have. So we should understand that we can be just as close to God, just as dear to God, and just as watched over by God. So this is an extremely valuable lesson that I believe answers so many of our questions. Yes, there is this genetic group. There is this group, as we said, you can trace it on their chromosomes. Passed down from Aaron HaKohen, straight down throughout our history, all the way until today. And that role, yes, it is affected by the fact that there is no Mikdash, but they still have to maintain this higher level of Kedusha because that is their specific role. Their specific role is to be the ones always ready to serve God in that direct way, to maintain the higher level of Kedusha in Am Yisrael. However, we must remember that it is not just a hierarchy, that there is also not only the letter of the law that guides the Kohanim, but there is the spirit of the law that guides the Kohanim, which is why we have ideas such as that presented in the Mishnah, that if someone knows more Torah, that can put them above a Kohen Gadol who doesn't really know Torah. Because today, the core of their role is not the actions they're doing. It's the role that they represent. So therefore, if they are not properly representing Torah and that level of closeness to God that they must achieve, then someone can surpass them in their closeness and ability to serve God. And in the idea of the Rambam, that there this idea of being able to cast off some of our physicality and grow closer to God, grow closer to Torah, and wanting to be that light onto our nation and to other nations, that's a responsibility that we can all and should all opt into. This is not something that is purely reserved for Shevet Levi. That's why we are all the Mamlechet Kohanim. We will never make ourselves part of that genetic group. And when it comes time that Emir Tashem tomorrow, we should be back serving in the Mikdash, we will not be carrying out the exact same halachot in the exact same way. We each have to maintain our different level of Kedusha. But this idea of opting in to being that Mamlechet Kohanim, part of that nation that wants to learn Torah, spread Torah, and grow closer to God, that's something that is not Shevet Levi Bolvad. That is something for everybody. And that's when he says, that is Kodesh Kedashim. When everyone is opted in, everyone wants to participate in this role of being that guide, that participant in Torah for everybody. When you opt in on your own, you have now made yourself, so to say, part of that Shevet Levi role. Rabbi Norman Lamb, I want to end off with a piece from him. The Rabbi Norman Lamb talks about what is the role of Kohanim today. How does this role of the kahuna affect us in our lives today when they're not actually serving in the Mikdash? And Rabbi Lamb points to this week's Haftorah, and he says, in general, the role of the Levium, and the Kohanim specifically, was not only to serve in the Mikdash, but they were also meant to be the teachers of the people, which is again why the Rambam referenced that they don't have their own Nachla, because they are meant to spread out, they are meant to teach, they are meant to be the educators. That's why we are meant to sustain them through our Trumo. And we must make sure that the Kohanim are taken care of because they are the educators. They are the ones that are closer to Torah. They are the teachers of Torah. As it says in this week's Haftorah, V'atami yoru ben kodesh l'chol, you must show the nation how to distinguish between kodesh and chol, between that which is holy and that which is profane. We'll be in tamei l'tahor, between what is pure and what is impure. V'al riv heima yamodu l'shpot, you should be the judges, the ones who differentiate between the different sides when it comes to a case of mishpat, umishpati v'shaftuhu, that torati v'chukati b'chol mo'ed yishamru v'atshaftutai yaktishu. They should be the ones making sure to imbue the Shabbos with holiness and the Yom Tovim with holiness. That's what's discussed in the end of Parshat Emor, is all of the holidays. And he says they are in charge. They are sort of the ritual committee. They are the ones who are going to teach all of Am Yisrael how to differentiate and how to bring this holiness and this kedusha. So Rabbi Lam says, how does this interplay with the genetic factor? That we know, not everybody who's born into Shevet Levi is probably a natural educator. Rabbi Lam says, we believe that there are traits that are passed down genetically to which we are naturally inclined. That being said, we believe that all of Am Yisrael, all Jewish people, have a natural inborn tendency towards spirituality. That we are born with a desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to grow closer to Him. We have our Tzelem Elokim that is making us gravitate towards spirituality. Rabbi Lam says, what was special about Shevet Levi? That they were born with a natural desire. One of their natural inborn talents is towards guiding the nation, specifically guiding the nation in Torah. So he says there's this genetic component that because they were the teachers, this inclination towards teaching and educating is passed down within them. That doesn't mean they come out of the womb teaching Torah, but that means that if they embrace their natural tendency, they will be more naturally inclined towards Torah. And this works perfectly with the rest of Am Yisrael, because if the rest of Am Yisrael has a natural inclination towards spirituality, that works out so well. We have the natural teachers and the ones who are naturally inclined to follow and to learn and to grow and to observe on a higher level. So he says that is the genetic interplay between these two groups. But he says practically today, what is the role of our Kohanim? And he says the role of the Kohanim today is to continue to be that role model group for us, to push us, to further us, to say we are going to observe these certain laws of Tomantara. We are going to make sure we hold ourselves at a slightly higher level because the nation still needs its role models to remind them what their goal is, what they can aspire to. Even though we don't have the mikdash, we can't serve in our full way, we are going to serve as those guides, those role models. We are going to embrace our natural tendency. And that's why the Kohanim today still give Berachat Kohanim. Because Berachat Kohanim is one that must be given be'ahava, with love, out of a desire to help the other grow, to become better. So these Kohanim, the Kohanim that are meant to be our role models, our guides, through that desire, they are going to bless us. That's why the Berachat Kohanim is called the Nesiat Kapayim. They are picking up their hands. While we don't look at them, we know that their hands are raised. And that is meant to remind us to look upwards, to look forward, to look towards this role model group as the exemplars of our spirituality and to grow towards them. And to use that as the constant fuel to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the blessing is not one that works like hocus pocus. Here they say, Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha, and all of a sudden it's supposed to come true. Rather, it's supposed to be motivational. They are blessing us with a bracha of aspiration to encourage us to grow in our avodas Hashem, and to remember that we are the mamlechat kohanim, that we can grow and achieve these ideals that they are exemplifying for us. So again, our question, is it a genetic hierarchy or is it equal opportunity? It's a genetic hierarchy in that we believe that until today there is meant to be this designated group that are going to be the role models and the exemplars, but it's equal opportunity in that, as the Rambam says, lo Shevet Levi bilvad, not only Shevet Levi alone can reach the level of Kodesh Kedashim. We can all elevate ourselves. We can all lean into our natural tendency towards spirituality and Kedusha. We can embrace it, use the Kohanim as models, as role models, and grow and increase in our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Ritz Hashem, may we all be able to take this to heart, use it in our lives today and in Mirat Hashem tomorrow when we are all together in the Beis HaMikdash. It should be even more clear to us. Thank you so much for joining today. Please